This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley as we cover a lot of diverse topics getting close to the election season. We'll be having more interviews. We've got one today with Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress in the 4th Congressional District. Monique, thanks for being on.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Kyle. It's good to be back.
So kind of give us an update on the race. How do you think things are going as you attempt to unseat the current incumbent?
We are running a very aggressive campaign. We have an exceptionally strong grassroots ground game, and that's how we're going to win. I'm a political outsider. I am not a career politician, and I am eager to be the voice for Oregonians in Washington, D.C., and I think that's resonating with regular people. We're knocking doors every day. We have some really great super volunteers right there in Douglas County, I'm hitting Lane County here. I live in Eugene every day, and people are ready for change, and I think it's going to be people turning out and voting because this is such an important election for the district.
Earlier this week, you got the endorsement from the National Federation of Independent Business. Talk about that and also your thoughts about the importance of small business to the economy in the 4th Congressional District.
Well, small businesses are the backbone of our community, of our district. They are the solution to economic prosperity, and they've just not been heard. I've been meeting with businesses all across the district for the last 11 months and hear consistently that they don't ever hear from their congresswoman. There's no outreach. And then when the businesses reach out to their congressional representative, there's no response. So I'm going to be a voice for businesses in the district because it's so important to all of us that they're able to prosper, that we reduce taxes on our businesses and deregulate so that they can get to the businesses and services that they provide to the community, the state. And we have some great businesses that do international business as well.
What was the process like of getting this endorsement from NFIB?
Well, I've met with them both in D.C., the national committee there, and also we have a strong presence right here in Oregon. I answered their extensive questionnaire sharing my values on business and what I would do to remove barriers and to support businesses. And I'm very honored to have their endorsement. We actually have about 1,000, maybe a little more than 1,000 members of NFIB right here in the 4th District. And they're just so critical to the success of our state. And as you know, they too are suffering from the lack of public safety, the resources that are limited. That's been foisting unnecessary just financial burden on our businesses. So it's all connected. I just told my story and how I do business, how I get things done, and how I've been a voice for the voiceless my whole legal career. And I'm going to continue to do that in Congress.
If you are elected, how do you feel like you're, mm-hmm. What would you be doing to try to help small business on kind of a federal level? What would you be pushing for?
Well, I'll be accessible to businesses when they call me. Businesses should be able to reach me on my cell phone, and I mean all of them. We know our current rep, Val Hoyle, she answers the phone for corrupt businesses like LaModa. She does favors for the companies that are her donors. That's not how I'm going to operate. I will be accessible to businesses across the district when they are having any challenges or suggestions regarding the federal government. I will add to the NFIB, they rate Congress people based on their votes in Congress. Currently, Val Hoyle is rated a 14 out of 100% possible, meaning every chance she gets, She votes against small businesses and independent businesses. I'm going to be voting for, I'm going to be mindful of how these laws affect our businesses. Common sense, of course, is the more restrictions we put on them, the more bogged down they get in administrivia and administrative red tape. I will be voting to reduce that and remove barriers and so that they can overcome these obstacles to growth, and they can lead their businesses to success in the 4th District.
A number of things to cover in the time we've got. I wanted to ask, related to fire, things are kind of pulling back right now in the fire situation, but we've seen around the state, not so much in our area, but statewide, really a record acreage burn this year. If elected to Congress...
Right, over 2 million.
Yeah.
Over 2 million acres, the greatest burn in recorded history, right?
Yeah, so what would you do in Congress to try to slow that down?
Well, there was a bill passed yesterday in Congress, in the House, called Fix Our Forests Act. And remarkably, Val Hoyle voted against it. Every Republican that there were no Republican votes against it. 55 Democrats voted in support of it. And thank God it passed, because it's an excellent start on the work of fire prevention that is just absolutely overdue and needs to be done. Right now we have elected Congress people and senators and the governor in Oregon who are really proud of themselves when they ask for emergency federal funding to put out the fires. And it doesn't seem like the fires are being put out on top of that. But we need to focus on preventing fires. And that's what this Fix Our Forest Act does. And even Nancy Pelosi voted in support of this bill. But our representative, Val Hoyle, voted against it. And what it would do is simplify and expedite environmental reviews, end frivolous litigation. It would foster these important relationships that I've talked about throughout my campaign, but the tribes, the federal, state, tribal, local, all of these agencies and interest groups need to collaborate. And this bill proposed a new fireshed center and codifying the shared stewardship initiative. It's one of its main objectives is to make communities more resilient to wildfire by coordinating existing grant programs. You know, so many of the problems our federal government faces and communities and just our lack of communication between the various groups that are tasked with addressing a problem. And this bill is addressing that coordination and then prioritizing the treatment of forests that are at the highest risk of wildfire. We have to start somewhere, right? And there are some great proposals in this bill, solutions in the bill. And in this bill also would revitalize rural economies by strengthening these tools of stewardship, contracting, and such. So it's an 80-page bill. There are some good summaries, but honestly, it's just jaw-dropping that our representative in the 4th District that is comprised of about 86% forests just didn't show up to participate in this excellent bipartisan act that I would support.
As a radio person, I don't actually see a lot of television, but I have noticed in the limited amount I see lately, the political ads, of course, are ramping up, and you and your opponent seem to be going back and forth, tossing different charges out as to what your position is on the abortion issue. Talk about that.
Well, back and forth and tossing, I will tell you this. I will never lie to the voters, to the constituents. I don't need to lie. I'm telling you what I stand for, and I have to respond when my opponent, who has revealed her campaign strategy, she's running a campaign on lies, and one of the most egregious ones is that despite my being on the record for almost a year that I do not support a national abortion ban, Oregon is very clear on the issue of abortion. CD4 is a pro-choice district, and I'm going to Congress to fight for public safety, for the economy, and holding our federal government accountable. I am on record repeatedly saying I will not support a federal ban on abortion, nor the regulation of a woman's body study by the federal government. I will stick up for Oregon, unlike Val Hoyle, who is a party rubber stamp. So she's running on an abortion issue. When I door knock and talk on the phone, thousands of people, abortion and reproductive rights is not the number one issue. And the reason why is it's resolved. So I am forced to spend precious donor dollars running ads to set the record straight and be sure that voters have the truth. So that's just one example of the lies that she's telling. Another is a lie that she's not under federal investigation. She is under federal investigation for the pay-to-play scheme with LaModa. She's not for workers' rights. She tells lies about that. While she was whining and dining LaModa and doing $500,000 favors for them, she had 11 employees had filed complaints against their employer, LaModa, while she was the commissioner of Boley, whose primary function in life is to protect workers from abusive employers. And she was doing favors for an abusive employer while they had complaints pending. This is who our opponent is. This is who's representing us in Washington, D.C.
We're going to cover more issues when we get back. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, we're going to talk about Recovery Month with Paul Robertson. He's a Presidential Program Director for Crossroads, part of ADAPT, on tomorrow's program. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress, on with us right now, covering a bunch of different issues. One that you've brought up a lot is immigration. I understand you visited the border fairly recently. Talk about that. What was your experience?
Yes, I did visit recently Yuma, Arizona. You know, and it's not so much about immigration as it is national security. Those two issues, immigration reform, national security, get conflated. The people of the 4th District are very concerned about their safety. They are I talk to people every week who've been affected by the fentanyl that's coming into our state. We have the highest fentanyl death rate in America, totally unacceptable. I met with officials, the sheriff, the Yuma sheriff and other Border Patrol experts, the mayor in Yuma. The 51% of all the fentanyl coming into the United States is coming through that region, that border stretch right there. That's a big problem that Oregonians are affected by every day. There's just so much for me to tell you. I mean, Yuma is not a official port of entry. The port of entry is Nogales, for the closest one. But what we have is essentially a unofficial port of entry where hundreds and hundreds of thousands of migrants are coming in from over 160 different countries. And this is all due to the Biden-Harris policies on the border and have been well supported by our incumbent Val Hoyle, who is on record saying we need that open border, we need that fuel, that movement of immigrants across the border. She thinks that we need that for our workforce. And that's one of the reasons I went to the border, because what our elected congresswoman is saying to her constituents is so contrary to what I hear constituents saying they want. They want a secure border. They don't want to have so much crime, the cartels, the drugs, the massive expense on the American people. They want to end that. It's one of the primary functions of the federal government. It's one of the primary functions of an elected representative in our Congress. And our current incumbent is failing. She did, because I took that border trip, I was on the news, KEZI, yesterday and this morning, reporting on this trip. And she's changing her tune, that she thinks that we need national security, that, you know, we must judge our current congressperson on her actions, not her words. 40 days or less from Election Day. And the fact is, Val Hoyle voted against the House Bill 2, the one very good and comprehensive border bill that was, thank God, despite Val Hoyle, it was passed, but it just sits and collects dust in the Senate. And then, because that bill has not passed, right, it has to get through the Senate, who seems determined, then the Democrat-ruled Senate is determined to not secure the border. So the American people and their representatives of integrity have had to pass bills that respond to the effect of an open border. And there's like 10 of them that Val Hoyle has voted against. Every single one of them. It's just unbelievable. So out of one side of her mouth, she just launched an ad today saying border security is really important. But yet her actions belie her true intentions. She voted against just a week ago, and these press releases are all on my website at MoniqueForCongress.com. She voted against a bill called Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act, which would cause a illegal alien to be deported if they commit a sex crime against a woman. The Lake and Riley Act, most of you have heard of that, was to detain illegal migrants who've been arrested for burglary, theft, larceny, or shoplifting, because we have several cases across the nation where people like that then go on to murder Americans, like Lake and Riley. Val Hoyle voted against it. And then there's the Detain and Deport Illegal Aliens Who Assault Cops Act. Val Hoyle voted against it. And there are several more that you can see listed. I can tell you now if you want to. How much time do we have, Kyle?
Well,
she voted against impeaching the Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who refuses to secure our border. Many Republicans, Democrats want to impeach him and hold him accountable for securing our nation, and she voted against that. And she votes against veterans every chance she gets as well. She votes for illegal immigrants. This is not the representative of the people of Oregon.
Now, how recently were you down there in Yuma?
Just a week ago. It's all a blur now. I think it was just last weekend. it was a quick trip. It was very hot there, 102. And another thing I discovered there, I think most Oregonians really know the impact of that open border is affecting us. There are every state is a border state. We're all affected. The cost of that open border is estimated to be, by the experts I met with, $150 billion a year. That wasn't in the budget, right? Val Hoyle would like to codify it and put it in the budget, but it's not in the budget. It's a mess down there. There are just hundreds of thousands of people being processed throughout the interior of our country.
You've covered talking with law enforcement a lot. What are you hearing from them in the district?
Well, I have the support of Sheriff Hanlon, Fabrizio, Sheriff Ward, Cliff Harold, all the sheriffs in the 4th District know that we have a problem with that open border. And I met with Sheriff Leon Wilmot, Sheriff of Yuma, but a real leader of the American Sheriff Alliance, an alliance of 3,000 sheriffs across the country who have pleaded with the Biden-Harris administration to address the crisis at the border. But we have cartels, we have human trafficking, which, by the way, I learned this, it was confirmed by the experts in Yuma, that human trafficking is the most lucrative business to the cartels right now, more lucrative than the fentanyl. The cartels are working with one of our biggest adversaries, China, who provides the precursors to the deadly fentanyl, and they just trotted over the border and are killing Americans to the tune of 107,000 Americans are dead because of every year because of fentanyl. Doesn't even address the injured. It's these things are confirmed by our local sheriffs that I just rattled off. You know, Coos, Curry, Douglas, Lane. These are all high density trafficking areas that the cartels are just kind of having their way with us because we don't have representatives sticking up for us.
As you go around the district, what do you have ahead for visits in Douglas County?
Pardon?
What do you have ahead for visits in Douglas County?
Oh, I don't have the I know we, you know, I challenged Val Hoyle to six debates quite some time ago when we would have had time to do six debates in each of our counties in the district. She's avoided that. But there are some developments, I think, with the Douglas County Chamber. I don't know right offhand how that's developing. But there are some forums in October where I will be in a forum with Val Hoyle and perhaps the other third-party candidates that are there. The one I can remember offhand is October 9th in North Bend.
And if people want to
at the Mill Casino.
If people want to find out more about your campaign as we wrap up here, give them your website, your social media information.
Please go to MoniqueForCongress.com and also follow me on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And I do need to, I'm in a constant fundraising grind. If you can go to my website and make a contribution to fuel this fight, because as you see, we have an aggressive opponent, and we need to just keep fighting to tell the truth to voters so that they are voting on the truth and not misrepresentations and lies.
Monique Despain, candidate for Congress on Inside Douglas County.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let us others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.